We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
Khalil Mack, he's fast, he's ferocious. When Mack is coming from the backside, then he's a guy who can make a game-changing, game-altering sort of tackle, where if an Anthony Herron is chasing from the backside, all right, you may get tripped up on your ankles, but you're not necessarily as worried about some sort of a strip or takeaway happening.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, Big Ant Herron, with Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Let's talk football with Anthony Herron on a very busy, if you like to use such words for such things, historic day, as the Bears have decided on another head coach. Anthony Herron is on Twitter at Big Ant Herron. He is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He also joins us on Twitch, that is absolutely flying quickly, furiously, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, and he's even doing a little bit of a shoulder shimmy for you, just because that's a signature move of Big Ant Herron. Well, Anthony, here we are. You heard it when we heard it just about an hour ago. What do you think?
Like it, I suppose, you know, just for a starting step. I certainly don't have any.
Yeah, like it, I suppose.
I don't have any issue to take with it. It's not one of these slam dunk hires that you say they have knocked it out of the park and you have some sort of a proven definitive winner, because Matt Eberflus has never been a head coach at any level of football before. And I think that the defensive background that's there is fairly stellar when you consider, especially just what he's been doing over the last handful of years in Indianapolis with the Colts. And so the guy can coach ball, the guy can coach defense. And, you know, folks I've been communicating with about him over the last couple of days all seem really impressed with the detail that he coaches and communicates the game with. It is a different step, as we have a very recent example of. It is a different step when you get the big whistle, when you're responsible for everything that goes into being a head coach in the National Football League. So my hope is that this guy who's this isn't the first potential head coaching opportunity that Matt Eberflus has gone through. He you know, the Houston Texans are a grease fire. So, like, last offseason, he turned down the opportunity to interview with them, and his name has been, you know, cycling through this for a couple of years now. So he's someone who's known that opportunities would likely be available to him here. He's just been coaching at that level. His defenses have performed under his leadership at that level. That's a good thing, man. He's not like just some flash in the pan who just came off of one season of quality coordinating. He's been at this for a minute and has done it at a really effective level at multiple levels here for quite a while now, and he's still fairly young, in his early 50s. But he ain't did it as a head man before, so I think a little bit of a relative degree of brake pumping is probably wise.
The idea of him coming from the Tony Dungy, Rod Marinelli, Lovie Smith tree, that this is, however they want to describe it, however they want to talk around it, about his flexibility and about how multiple he can be, it does appear we are headed back to the future of a Tampa 2 base. Are you confident that at least for now, the important players on this defense can be retrofit to 4-3 positions?
I am. And what excites me about it to a certain extent, and part of this is assumption, but when you pair Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, a defensive coach who's coming from a franchise that's won a lot in recent years in Indianapolis, and as as unstable as Jim Irsay can seemingly be at times, that the Colts, you know, through various head coaches and various quarterbacks and a lot of movement in the front office, for the most part, man, they've done a lot of winning over the last 20 plus years. And I think for him coming from that, I'd be surprised if the Bears approach this coming season, because part of what I was curious about is, and, you know, we'll obviously find out for sure when we're hearing from the new people in charge, but I was wondering if the Bears would view 2022 as some sort of a season to maybe take a step back, to perhaps, I'm sure they wouldn't use the word rebuild, but how will they view this? You know, the cap situation isn't awful, but it's not amongst the strongest in football. It's kind of middle of the pack somewhere. Are they going to look to unload talent, make a bunch of extra roster space monetarily, which they will likely still have to do to some extent, but it does. This Matt Eberflus hire does give me the impression they're not likely to just completely tear down the defense. You know, I've been wondering, are we going to see what we hope would be a healthy Khalil Mack and a healthy Robert Quinn coming off the edge together this next football season? And this, in my opinion, increases the chances of that.
But they're coming off the edge differently. We're talking hand on the ground now.
Right.
And that is different.
It is. Robert Quinn prefers playing defensive end. He prefers having his hand in the ground, and Khalil Mack was an all-pro in the same season, not only as an outside linebacker, but as a defensive end. So both guys have done that extensively, at times exclusively, earlier in their career. So I do think that especially off the edge, they can be effective enough with that. And even one of the things I've talked to you about, just kind of combing through the Bears personnel as we're talking through this live here, think about Bilal Nichols and what he's sort of been trying to work through in his time early in his career. He's been most effective in his time with the Chicago Bears, not necessarily as a guy who consistently hits blocks really effectively up front, even though that was more what his collegiate defensive scheme was. He's been at his best when he's getting to the edge, when he's penetrating into the backfield, when he's making plays on the opposing side of the line of scrimmage. When you have a three technique in a 4-3 front, that's where your defensive line can be at its best. That's where I could really see Bilal Nichols making some hay. If he was just a true three technique in a scheme, sometimes he's outside shoulder the left guard, sometimes he's outside shoulder the right guard. But if in that, you know, that Warren Sapp, or you know, he's obviously not Aaron Donald, but just schematically with some of the ways that the Rams would utilize Aaron Donald, just a guy who, you know what, you are beefy enough to be on the interior, but you have the potential, you have the opportunity. We are sending you on seek and destroy missions into the opposing backfield. Bilal Nichols is at his best when he's allowed to do that.
It's amazing how little we're talking about offense right now and how massive a hire or hires the offensive staff is going to be. This is when now there's conjecture as to the involvement of Ryan Poles. And I imagine that Bill Polian and Ted Phillips and George McCaskey now can step back, because now things get down a level when it comes to that. But in the discussions between Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles will be not just the offense that you're going to run for Justin Fields, but how strong a personality that is, because it may just be now, with the head coach being on the defensive side of the ball, this becomes more of an associate head coach responsibility than it would otherwise have been in a league that, let's face it, offense matters more than defense, you can say.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that my hope for Matt Eberflus, as a guy who throughout his entire coaching career, certainly his entire time as a coordinator, both at Toledo and Missouri and in Indianapolis with the Colts, and even some time with the Browns, he's been a guy who's called plays defensively. It won't bother me a lick if he gets someone else and just tags them with defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And not that I want Matt Eberflus, like, you know, necessarily kind of nosing in to offensive play calling or anything like that. He's a defensive guy. But think of Mike Vrabel with the Titans, where he came in and he's had his defensive background, but he's running the full show, and his imprint is on everything that the Titans do. There's a reason that they didn't take a big step back when Derrick Henry left with an injury. It's not because Derrick Henry's not a space alien and one of the most gifted athletes we've ever seen playing running back, but Mike Vrabel says, we got to run the rock. We got to be physical on the offensive line, and we need that approach offensively to still be something that allows our defense to take the field with energy. And so my hope for Matt Eberflus would be that he takes a page from the Mike Vrabel book. Vrabel ain't called a play on offense for the Tennessee Titans, but you can see his fingerprints on how they operate offensively and how it benefits everything that they do. You can say the same about Sean McDermott in Buffalo. Defensive coaches, as much as we get excited about them and we love what they do, just because you're not an OC and because you haven't called offensive plays before, we see guys still doing it at a high level in the league. And I believe the ones who are maybe doing it at their best are the ones who do take a little bit of a step back, say, yes, I'm better on defense, I'm overseeing that, but offense, here's how you need to run the show. And maybe even every once in a while, if you're not moving the pocket enough, if you're not running the rock enough, but you got the big whistle, Matt Eberflus, you need to be able to get in that OC's ear and say that, yes, you need to run the football. Let's dial back tempo or intensity of offense because my defense is starting to get gassed over here. And if you're not calling the defensive plays snap by snap, it gives you more of an ability to oversee everything.
I also, my mind is racing right now thinking, for example, Jalen Johnson. Is Jalen Johnson, I remember when he was scouted because of his size and willingness to tackle, he also might be an ideal Tampa 2 style corner rather than having to turn and run, dropping to a landmark and playing with the play in front of him.
So, like, if people want to, they can search my Twitter timeline somewhere. Just, it was probably just before the draft, I called a bunch of Jalen Johnson's games at Utah, and I put some video up of some times where he's like facing LaVisca Chenault and, you know, different opponents that they had. And he's best in man-to-man coverage. He is spectacular mano a mano. He's a more than willing tackler. He did struggle with tackling a bit his rookie season because he's had so many shoulder injuries over the years. He tackled more effectively this past season at the level that I've seen Jalen Johnson tackle at in the past. And that's certainly a big part of what the focus has to be when you're playing that Tampa 2 coverage, not just the spatial awareness that's necessary where the corner has to hit certain landmarks, the safeties have to hit certain landmarks just to make sure that they're pattern matching in an appropriate manner. But and you'll certainly obviously get your man coverage opportunities also, but there's going to be a lot of situations where you're playing maybe a little more off man than Jalen Johnson is most comfortable with or prefers, but he's effective in that regard as well. But the tackling end of it will be even that much more key because there's going to be a lot of eyes in the backfield. This, in theory, because of how frequently Matt Eberflus's defenses have been amongst the best in the National Football League. You look at basically the entire time since he's been the Colts defensive coordinator, there's only one defense in football that's taken the ball away more since 2018 than the Colts have. And that's the New England Patriots. And we know the head coach slash defensive mastermind who runs the show for them. So two things the Bears should be really good at. Matt Eberflus' defenses, stop the run. Matt Eberflus' defenses, they do a really effective job taking the ball away. And those have been, over the last couple of seasons, the biggest complaints we can really have. The inconsistency of the Bears' run D, and we haven't seen it since 2018, them taking the rock away. Maybe this can be a part of what revitalizes Eddie Jackson.
Let me get back to something you brought up regarding Eberflus and constructing a staff and having a defensive coordinator that would allow him the comfort and trust of being able to grow into that head coaching role, like you say, with the big whistle. What about Lovie Smith?
Okay, I didn't know if you were going to add a little bit of color to the context of your question.
What about Lovie, Bears defensive coordinator Lovie Smith?
I wouldn't take any issue with it. I mean, you know, Lovie's been around the block a lot. He's obviously been a head coach in this town. If Matt Eberflus, what I don't want is Matt Eberflus to feel threatened by the notion of having experience around him. When you're a first-time head coach, to have an experienced staff who's been there and done that is a big deal. One of the issues you run into if you're Matt Eberflus and you hire Lovie Smith, like, it's one thing to hire some other guy who's been a head coach or a defensive coordinator, but Lovie Smith in this town is the last excellent Bears head coach that has been here. He is the last guy who has taken them to the Super Bowl berth. And not that Lovie's approach or his demeanor would sort of force Eberflus to you know, feel like someone is lording over his shoulder or anything to that regard. I think Lovie's defensive mind can, you know, still gets it done at a high level. I don't know that that's maybe the best way for Matt Eberflus to have his show being run and to feel like it is his Chicago Bears team and his Chicago Bears defense. I feel like Lovie Smith would maybe be the one name out there that I would say, you might want to shy away from that with this particular organization, because Lovie Smith is the one that a lot of folks still pine for because that was the last heyday of Bears football.
I get it. And if he weren't running a defense in the NFL right now and running this defense in the NFL right now, his name wouldn't come up. But But when we're talking about Rod Marinelli, you know, that it may just be that Marinelli finds his way back to Chicago.
Yeah, and I think on the opposing side of the ball, I mean, you know, as much as like I would have maybe a similar reaction if Jim Caldwell were hired as the head coach right now. And, you know, of course, Jim Caldwell has several successful stints as a head coach in the NFL and has taken a team to the Super Bowl, has been a successful offensive coordinator. So, you know, Jim Caldwell brings a resume with him. You know, I'll admit it, like I think folks shouldn't be allowed to drive anymore. At least they should have to pass a driving test every year after they're 75. So I'm an ageist, you know, hand up for certain opportunities that you get around here. So I would have some concerns about Jim Caldwell's age. So I would feel a little better about Caldwell head coach hire than I do Eberflus. But I think on the whole, if this cycle plays out a little bit longer and Jim Caldwell isn't getting other interviews, doesn't get offered a gig, maybe this is a name. Maybe that's a guy who you look to get involved as your OC, as your quarterback coach, something like that. Mm. The only thing on Jim Caldwell's resume that I don't necessarily find is him working extensively with mobile quarterbacks. Like he had remarkable seasons with Peyton Manning. He went to a Super Bowl calling plays for Joe Flacco. He had the best seasons of Matthew Stafford's career up until this year, but in Detroit were with Jim Caldwell. Now, stylistically, like I've said before, I think Justin Fields likes to operate from within the pocket, but to be able to move the pocket, to be able to use some QB run just to get that portion of things going, I think certainly here early in the career of Justin Fields will need to be a big part of how they operate. So I wouldn't mind that type of experience and that type of leadership being there on the offensive side of the ball. I would want to know schematically how Jim Caldwell would potentially run things for the Bears, specific to the skill sets of Justin Fields. But that's the type of thing that you mentioned, Lovie Smith defense, and that might be asking a bit much intangibly, emotionally, for Eberflus, for everyone around the city to be able to handle that, like Lovie back in Hallis Hall, but not being the head man. But Jim Caldwell, if he was up for that, and if he's not getting another head coaching opportunity, I would love that influence in the building, that influence around Justin Fields, because it's so vital for him at this formative stage early in his career.
But then you also change the gravity of Hallis Hall, because, you know, Jim Caldwell, I'm not saying that he's going to stomp his way around meetings or anything like that, but when you have a longtime head coach who does appear to have the autonomy on the more important side of the football, it may not make it easy for a 51-year-old coach who's never been the head coach of anything. Like, you have to balance that kind of team of rivals or that kind of experience, a little bit of having that and not being afraid of people who know more than he does, with also, in any way, even passively undermining any authority.
And that's the key. That's the key for Matt Eberflus, because like my rookie year in Detroit in 2001, Marty Morningweg was a first-time head coach. And he was a guy who had been an offensive coordinator. He was a guy who had been on several offensive staffs. He was out in San Francisco. He'd worked under Bill Walsh. He had the resume that was worthy of getting a head coaching opportunity. But what Marty Morningweg ended up doing, he had first-time general manager Matt Millen, and then Marty hired a bunch of college coaches and a bunch of guys with no more experience in the league than him. And it just showed in every facet of how we operated with the Detroit Lions the entire time that Marty was running that show. So to me, if you're a head coach, you've been at this for a minute, this is your first opportunity. But if you truly want success, like you think about early when Matt Nagy was here, one of the things that impressed me was that he was willing to have Brad Childress in there and have Harry Hiestand in there and guys who've been at this for a long time. And Childress obviously had even been a head coach before that. And then those guys aren't around very long after that. And that's what began to concern me a bit. But if you're as a young guy, but have enough heft, kind of enough, you know, be formidable enough in your own, you know, to be able to account for yourself in that manner, that self-confidence necessary to say, I'm willing to surround myself with experience, willing to surround myself with guys who've done it at a higher level than I have, to make sure we've got the best, most complete staff, team of rivals, like you said, because that's what can make the Chicago Bears great. That's part of what's been lacking here. That's part of what I hope would end up being the influence that, even though Ryan Poles is young, he's been around how you do this at a high level with the Chiefs. And maybe that can be some lesson that's been learned here by George McCaskey, by the administration over there at Hallis Hall, is to recognize it's not just about these top two hires. I've been using the word infrastructure so much here over the last couple of months because there's a reason. I don't know exactly what it is, but the Bears need to find it. There's a reason that John Fox, his teams didn't get better, that Mark Trestman's teams didn't get better, that Matt Nagy's teams didn't get better over the seasons they were here as a head coach, and making sure you've got a true, a proper staff and the experience necessary to be great with that in all meeting rooms is a big part of what the Bears should focus on.
That's Anthony Heron, the former NFLer. We have plenty more to come as more information rolls in about the news of the day. Your next Chicago Bears head coach is Matt Eberflus. That's the story. We're the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.